This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
It is day number four, the final day here in Cola, Michigan for the 84th Abbott's get-together. And we had a wonderful show last night, and when you listened to yesterday's podcast, you heard us give a little bit of review about that. And what's interesting is here this morning, the first thing out of the chute here at the high school was a lecture then by John Bundy, which I was unable to attend because I was recording an episode that's going to be coming up later that you guys are going to enjoy. But there was a fellow here who was listening to that. He's going to talk to you a little bit about that and also his experience here at Abbott's. Please welcome my friend Brandon Ivy. Hey, Brandon.
Hello.
And you are sarcastic. Hello. Boy, you're soft-spoken. So, and you live in the Philippines, actually, then?
Yeah, I've lived in the Philippines for 10 years.
Okay, but you're originally from?
Missouri. Branson, Missouri.
From Branson, that's right. And so you've seen a lot of magicians, of course, in Branson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, people have come and gone. Yeah.
Rick Thomas, Dave Hamner, Reza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gary Carson, you seen Gary Carson's show over there, too?
I have not
okay.
yet.
Okay. I think he came since you've left. Yeah. Do you get back to Branson because I guess you got family there?
I'm there now on break.
Okay. So. Well, you're actually in Colon right now, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm heading back to Branson tomorrow.
So this is your first convention?
It's my second convention. Okay. Yep. Second year in a row.
In a row. And yeah. You came back this year because?
Last year was so amazing.
What do you think about this year?
It's good so far. It's a lot of creativity, lectures, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned Bizarro earlier that it was like a knockout for you. So that's your favorite so far?
Yes, Bizarro has been worth the price of admission. Just his creativity, his sleight of hand is amazing. Just everything he teaches on creativity is just, it's worth it.
Yeah. Now, this morning we saw John Bundy, and you saw the show then last night, the Spook Show. What did you, first of all, think about the show?
I loved the show. It was the first time I've ever seen him. Just so amazing how he takes normal props that we're all used to and just makes it original to a Halloween show.
Right, and had nice backdrop and props, like you said, and everything, like where he'd made a zigzag into a coffin and other kinds of stuff. It was very cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so in his lecture this morning, I assume he was talking about much of the same things?
He was doing the same thing. He took the old run, rabbit, run routine, turned it into a Halloween idea, putting a ghost on the top of it. And with the acrobatic silks, the same thing, turning it into a Halloween theme using a skeleton arm, just different props that are...
Instead of a wooden bore or cylinder or something with the silks underneath it, he used like a femur and a hand.
Right.
Or it wasn't a femur, it would have been an ulna, I guess. Anyhow.
Right, yeah, totally. And even a square circle using a pumpkin shell from maybe a hobby store or something like that, using a pumpkin shell for the square circle.
And so he was just trying to get you to think about common tricks you have already or your knowledge of them and how that you can apply Halloween or spooky stuff to it.
Yeah. Yeah, just taking things you already have around the house and trying to figure out how you can theme it to a particular show you have for originality. And it just offers something that maybe another magician's not offering as you're trying to sell yourself as a magician.
Now, getting around the city, there are a lot of other things that are going on, like over at Abbott's Magic Company. They have shows that are going on. Have you seen any of the shows? I know John Chango and Jeff Allen and some others are...
This afternoon, I'm going to see the Laughlin show, but I've already seen the Sterling Magic show.
Mm-hmm.
That was really entertaining. That was the first time I've seen that.
And was that at John Sterlini's theater there?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I saw that a couple days ago.
And what was that like? What did he do? You remember? I mean, it was exciting. Was it fun?
It was fun. I can't remember what he did. I'm a little overwhelmed by magic shows so far, so I'd have to think about that.
Have you been getting any sleep?
Not much, no. 10 hours of magic a day will mess with you a little bit.
It does a little bit. And then you go to the Legion then at night with everybody?
Yeah, just hanging out, just trying to absorb everything.
That was so much fun last night. I just had walked in and some girl walked up to me and said, "Are you a magician?" "Yes, I am." "Could you please come over to our table?" And ended up as a bachelorette party, and they just loved everything, you know.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah. Yeah, just walking around town, kids just automatically think you're a magician if you have these necklaces on,
sure.
And they're asking you to see magic tricks.
Do you have anything you carry with you normally
I
show
do.
People?
I carry rubber bands.
Rubber bands. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's your go-to thing.
That is my go-to.
So is Joe Reinflesch one of your inspirations? Have you got his DVDs or something?
Yeah, I'm still learning. That's a lot of complicated tricks.
He's got a lot of complicated tricks. That's true.
I'm still learning, but I love his rubber bands that he sells.
Yeah. What type of magic do you prefer to do?
I prefer stage magic. Mm-hmm. I do close-up, but I prefer stage-type magic. Like, for instance, using the Nielsen card, spot routine, color-changing silks, things like that.
Right. And you do gospel magic, you said before?
I do also do gospel magic. I try to incorporate at least one gospel magic lesson once a month in my sermons in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to be staying in the Philippines for a while, or are you going to be moving back here, or what's your, I mean, there just for a short time, or?
We've been there about 10 years now, so I'm hoping to be there at least another 10 years before I go back to maybe Branson.
Okay. Are you going to retire then at that point and move back to Branson, or is it like an appointment that you have?
Not an appointment. Okay. I want to finish out my career doing magic, if that's possible, yeah.
Okay. Well, Branson would be a good place to do it. They've got, 17 theaters there.
But I would like to retire out just my last 10 years of just getting paid doing magic instead of anything else.
And again, this is your second Abbots get-together, and you're planning on coming into future ones as well. I mean, all the way from the Philippines. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
It's not an easy jaunt, so you have to win the award for coming the longest way.
That is true.
Thank you very much. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Brandon Ivey, Scotty Allen. We're still waiting. Actually, the next event, I think, is going to be happening over at Abbott's Magic Company. And what is the young lady's name who's going to be performing? She was one who really knocked it out of the park in the contest a few years ago. And she is a ventriloquist, actually. And that starts at 1 o'clock over at Abbott's Magic Factory. And her name is Bryn Cummings. There we go. And if I get a chance, I'm going to try to... We'll get over there. It's going to start about a half hour. And then following that, we come back to the high school for Lance Burton to give a lecture, which will be fun. But right now, I'm with someone who is the president-elect of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, my friend, and yours, Mr. Chuck Arkin. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Scott. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. And thank you very much for being a friend of the Magic Word. I appreciate your financial support, and that's what I always want to encourage people. I feel like I'm PBS, trying to get some more money. So I appreciate all the support we get, and also to people just listening. And thank you very much for listening as well, Chuck.
Well, thanks. You do a lot for the community. We appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. I love doing it. I love talking to people then like you. So you've been coming for a long number of years to Abbott's, haven't you?
Yes.
And one of your favorite conventions?
It's different. It's one of my favorites because there's more downtime to socialize rather than back-to-back-to-back lectures and shows.
Yeah. You can actually spend some quality time and sit with somebody and talk rather than saying, oh, I got to hurry to get the next thing.
Definitely. Yeah. A lot of fun.
This last year, just a few months, it seems like a long time ago, the IBM convention in Atlanta, we had I thought we had some downtime there, so we didn't have as many overlapping activities. I felt that was well planned.
Right. We purposely allowed additional downtime in the afternoons, and we had common activities such as the contests at the same time each day. Mm-hmm. So we definitely opened up more time for people to get a reunions together.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the direction they're going to go with future conventions?
Definitely. People want more time to just relax together, mm-hmm. learn something, have some fun, get entertained, but also reconnect.
Right. And see some pretty good and strong magic in lectures.
Definitely. And we have Sean Farquhar, our talent share, and Ken Scott and Oscar Munoz working with me for Pittsburgh. Hope to see you in Pittsburgh in July next year.
And if people want to register, they should go to?
Magician.org, or you can go to IBMconvention.com. Early bird registration ends August 15th, so sign up now.
So this is going out immediately,
yes.
this podcast, and so go over there. Pause the podcast. If you're listening on your computer, go over to magician.org and save some big bucks.
That's definitely. Look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh.
So as far as this convention, what has impressed you so far? Who have you seen? What have you learned or what?
Well, the flexibility of the planners when we had some people canceled due to COVID. Matt King is always a huge favorite. And the lecture we just saw with John Bundy of how you take a concept and modify it, adapt it to have a theme. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the not just education, but good business opportunities, ways you can expand your business if you are a magician, ways to get more gigs.
And what I like about this also is some people who might have been looking at this think, okay, well, I can expand doing more Halloween shows or maybe spook-oriented kinds of things. But I think the takeaway is not just that, but to expand your mind to thinking about other kinds of things. Like for me, let's say, of doing trade shows, how can I use some existing knowledge I have or props that I have that can be repurposed in order to sell the company's service or quality or whatever the new product is that you're trying to pitch on the trade show floor.
Right. How to adapt a concept, a basic prop from magic to fit your customer, to customize it to your customer, whether it's a library show or a corporate event.
Exactly.
You can tie in the basic concepts that have a better connection with your audience.
Right. So just kind of stimulate your creativity is what he was doing.
Definitely. Great job. Yeah.
And you were talking about some of the flexibility. Certainly they've had to swap people in and out as we've talked over the last few days, and you've heard how we've had to, Mike Miller last night was talking about having to scramble in order to get some people coming in. And one of the advantages, of course, of us having FISM in Quebec, people were kind of coming down through this area on the way, just kind of wanting to hang out and be with friends, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, let me tap you on the shoulder. Could you come and be part of the show?
Yeah, you couldn't ask for better pinch hitters than Lucy Darling and Andy Gladwin. Wow, they were fantastic.
Fantastic is the word. They were nothing less than great. They were stellar, outstanding. And so, again, you're obviously planning on coming back next year?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And so you'll be the incoming president starting next year, is that right?
Right. On Thursday of the July 2023 convention, Billy Shui will be the outgoing president. He'll pass the chains over to me, and I'll be the incoming for the next year.
Do you have any kind of an agenda or a thing that you can share right now? Are you going to wait until later?
I'd be happy to share what I know, and that is more... connection with our international. We do some great bits with Zoom shows and connecting virtually, but I'm looking forward to having more travel internationally and connecting in person with a lot of our rings throughout the world.
And that was one of the things that we've been missing over the last couple of years, unfortunately, who were the presidents like Alexander and prior to that, who was just before him. They really didn't get
Ken
a chance.
Scott.
Yeah, Ken Scott really didn't get a chance to travel
and
much
Stephen
at all.
Stephen Bargatze also. Yeah. They were pretty much quarantined at home behind the computer so they can connect with people, but it's not the same. So we have a little bit of catch-up. Hopefully post-COVID.
That's right. Well, I wish you luck, and I say luck, you won't need it, because you are a very well-organized man. You've been the treasurer for how many years also?
Since 2014, yes.
Yeah, so and that has helped the organization to grow when we were kind of in a red situation and helping to bring us out of that. And so thank you very much for helping the organization and keeping focused and eliminating the fat. Not that we had a lot, but I think that they've done an excellent job, so I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. It's always good to see you.
So I know that you're going to do a great job as president. Look forward to your presidency, but also to more of the convention. This is far from over. We got a long day ahead of us.
Definitely. A lot of fun ahead. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Chuck Arkin. Scotty out. Well, I'm with my Andy Gladwin right now, who is one of the managing partners of Vanishing Ink, and he is here. This is your first time actually attending. First of all, hi, Andy. Good to see you.
Hi, Scott. Yeah, my first time ever at this convention.
And you having a good time?
I'm having a great time. Yeah, this is a convention of legends, and it's not one I'd ordinarily be able to just fly over to. I'm from the UK, so it's, you know, it's a hard convention to get to. But I was at FISM. Mike Caveney convinced me. I had a week off work, so I was like, okay, let's come. So I drove down with the guys, and here I am.
And your plan was just to kind of come and hang, and then things happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's the world of COVID right now. Running a convention, I know all too well, is tough. So whenever someone calls, it's like, hey, I need you to do a bit on a show, I'm there, of course.
If this was a lot closer, you'd probably attend a lot more often, I'm assuming.
Of course.
In the US.
Yeah, this is... It's just been a great convention for me to hang out with my friends that I don't get to see very often. We've had every night hanging out with Mike Caveney and Matt King and all these great people, Michael Godot, everyone. It's been so much fun.
Have you had much sleep?
No, but that's not what conventions are about.
Exactly.
This is my second convention in a row, and I'm off going to... We do a team retreat with Vanishing Ink, the Vanishing Ink team.
And
so that's next. That's
going to be
in Las Vegas. We're flying the whole team into Vegas, so we're all going to be together. And then we have a retreat in Utah for one of our Vanishing Ink retreats. So we have a lot of conventions back-to-back.
That's what I was going to ask about retreats, because I know you had one. Didn't you do one in South Africa as well?
Yeah.
And that is something that people can pay for. When you say a retreat, it's not for the employees. It's actually something that is you offer to anyone who wants to come.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so we have started doing these retreats. The first one was in Costa Rica, South Africa. We're going to Tuscany next year. We are in Utah this year. And, yeah, they are going from strength to strength. They sell out in maybe 48 hours.
Wow.
And, yeah, we love doing them. It's
very limited. What is it, like a dozen people or so? Or what?
No, so... This current one in Utah is 45 people.
Wow.
Tuscany, we're doing twice, and that's 45 people. Well, that's 45 magicians, and then this is the only convention in the world where we encourage you to bring your wife or your family or your partner, your husband, whatever. So okay. It's a really fun time.
Do you find there are many children who do come as part of a family vacation?
No, so it's couples traditionally.
Usually spouses or yeah.
Yeah, so when the locations we choose aren't really great for like young kids or whatever, which is a shame because I'd love to bring my son to these. But yeah, they are going really well, and it's the most fun part of our job, I think.
Well, one of the other conventions that you do in addition to the Magi Fest, of course, is a session, and that happens usually what, just before the Magi Fest?
The week before Magi Fest, so that's January in London every year. Yeah, it's a close-up convention. I started it when I was a kid, and pretty much a kid anyway, and it's grown from strength to strength, so I love that convention.
And how many years has that been going on?
I think it's about 15 to 17 years now. I'm terrible with counting of years.
Okay. And so Josh is involved with that then as well now, is that correct?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So it's Josh and I organize it together along with the Vanishing Ink team, and this year we are working really hard. Hopefully this will be the first kind of non-COVID affected year in January 2023, so it's a good lineup already.
We were talking a little bit about, I think you said that Josh had a show in Chicago and you were up visiting with him recently and we're doing a lecture there.
Yes, I jumped into Chicago. So Josh doing a show at the Lincoln Center in New York, and I thought, you know what, I've always wanted to go to the Magic Lounge, so why don't I go see Josh in the Lincoln Center in New York and then just jump over, go to Chicago, do a lecture, and then fly home. So all in all, it was like a 72-hour trip, but I love being at the lounge, I love the lecture, and I'm just happy to do it.
And so from here, you're going to be going back to the UK, like when, tomorrow or next day?
Oh, no, not for another month and a half, I think now. So
where are you
going
from here?
For a bit. So I'm going to Vegas from here. Spend a month in Vegas. My family are coming over. Actually, I go to the Vanishing Warehouse for a few days first, and then I go to Vegas. So this is like a 2.5-month trip for me.
So in Vegas, are you planning on seeing a bunch of shows? You're going to be doing a little business there? You're going to perform or you're going to lecture? What are you going to do?
It's my son's birthday. My son will be 7, and Mac has already invited us to the show, so we're going to celebrate, and I think I'm going to go see Cupfield and see whatever I can. I'm with my family, so I get to see it through the eyes of a layman.
That'd be really great. There are so many different things to see. I've been when I was there during the month of June, I saw 20 shows while I was out there, and there were a lot of different things, including not just magicians. I mean, we went to see Ka circus show, went to see Stephen Wright, a comedian, and some other things. Again, they were non-magic, I guess, related, but it was just fun. So you're going to have a lot of fun with the family there.
Yeah, I think I will. Yeah, taking my parents, so it should be good.
And so then the next convention that you're going to be attending after this is going to be what?
The Vanishing Ink Team Retreat, then the retreat in Utah.
Right.
And then I get like 3 months off conventions.
Okay. I really don't think of the retreat as being a convention in the conventional sense, because it's really more of a holiday, as you say, where you're going to get a chance to go and see and experience things as opposed to, do you have magic? You don't have dealers, I assume, other than, but it's really, you have some lecturers.
I describe it as going on vacation with your favorite magicians. So this year, we have David Benn and John Carney at this retreat. We do two retreats a year, but this one in Utah is David Benn, John Carney. Josh and myself do new lectures at every retreat, and every attendee gets a gift pack, which includes a book from each of the lecturers. So that means right now, Josh and I are writing two new magic books a year. Like this next one's 120 pages. And so it's actually a really good creativity thing for the two of us, because we're making sure that we are kind of putting new content in every retreat, which is tough but really fun.
And do you have anybody booked right now? I'm sure you do. For Magi Fest, there are headliners that you can announce?
Can't announce anyone just yet.
Okay.
I think I can. I think I can. No, I can't. No, I can't. But a really strong lineup. It's going to be, let's just say it's going to be quite FISM heavy. There will be a few FISM award winners there. But yeah, that's kind of all I can say for now.
How about the session? Anybody you can announce there?
Nope.
Tight lip.
Again, quite FISM heavy. People who know mine and Josh's tastes, I think, will not be surprised to see who we're bringing in. But it's going to be a good year. I can tell you one for both of them, actually, because he will be the same performer at both of them. Is my friend Mark James from the UK, who is he's an hilarious stand-up magician, but he's just so multi-talented. So he's going to be seen at both conventions, and he's going to be one of those performers that is kind of used a lot at the convention. So we'll see a lecture, we'll see a show where he's emceeing the gala shows. So Mark's great, and he's the one name. He's a little teaser. If you've never seen him, he'll be ahead.
Mark is really great. In fact, I was booking a lecture tour for him, and then things had happened. This was way before COVID, because he started getting some bookings on cruise ships. And he said, Scott, I'm going to have to delay this, and never got back. I mean, it just He just took off. His career just went.
Yep, he's really busy. Yeah. Always busy. Yeah. But that's just one name. And these conventions are packed. I think there's 25 performers at each convention. So, like, it's maybe a few less, but it's going to be really packed. It's going to be a good year.
I thought it was interesting that Josh was one of the judges also at FISM. So is this his first year, do you know, of him being a judge, or has he done that in the past?
He judged in Tuscany, I think it was. But no, this is his second time.
Tuscany, that must have been...
Not Tuscany, sorry.
Busani. Rimini.
Rimini. That was a great FISM. So, yeah, he's judged a few times. Which means we don't get to see each other during the whole convention. I hardly saw him this FISM, but he's working hard, and my guess is that Josh was a really helpful judge, because the winners seem to be the kind of acts that I think he would have voted high for.
I can see his influence in that then as well.
You'd be surprised to hear we don't talk about it. He's very tight-lipped. I'm always trying to hey, Josh, tell me, who's going to win? And he won't say. So I think it was good awards this year.
One last question, I'm going to let you go, but on Vanishing Ink, what's new and what's hot? What should people be looking at?
Oh, so much stuff. Josh has a new trick coming out in a couple of weeks, which is great. I just released my new book on the magic of Jack Parker. Jack Parker was a friend of mine from 15 years ago. He passed away of cancer. But back then he was the best card magic creator. Everyone was using his material and raving about him. And now 15 years later, I finally released all of his material that he entrusted me with, ready to release. So if you read my book, 52 Memories, this is the follow-up to that, and I'm so proud of it. So, but there are projects aplenty. We are, so busy right now.
So stay tuned to Vanishing Ink.
As always.
Very good. Scott. Andy, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Glad you're enjoying the convention. Good to see you. I hope you come back again.
I think I will.
Very good. The Magic Word Podcast. It was Andy Gladwin. Scotty out. One of the things here at Abbott's that is exciting is they have a stage contest, which most conventions have as well, but also there are people who go on to great notoriety from the contest, even if they don't win. For an example, Matt King came in third. Jeff Hobson came in second. Of course, Lance Burton came in first. That was a special year back in 1977, but those are just a few examples of people who have been in contests in the past whose names you now know as household words, I should say magician's households, whose names are well known. And here's one who is amazing to me when she performed, and I saw her in the contest when you were 8 years old, Bryn Cummins. Hi.
Hi.
So glad to have you, and I saw your show then today. Now you're 11 years old, is that right?
Yep.
And you've been on Penn & Teller Fool Us, and you tell me a little bit about what other TV shows and things you've been on.
So I did do a TED Talk back in November of 2021, and I wasn't on Penn & Teller Fool Us. I was on Penn & Teller Try This at Home 2.
Oh, okay.
Is what I was on, and I've been on the news a couple times also.
Wow. And that contest that you won, was that your first time you'd entered a contest?
Yeah, it actually was. That was my first year ever performing, actually, which is really fun.
Wow, and winning a contest, that's amazing. So you were practicing as a ventriloquist since you were five, or how long were you doing that?
I started magic about 4 years ago, ventriloquism about 3 years ago, so I haven't been doing it as long, but it definitely was also another one of my things I like to do.
Well, it's not just a thing you like to do, because you just won, the national championship for junior ventriloquist. Tell me about that, how old that was.
That was really fun, yeah. It's a little bit nerve-wracking, because it's literally just hundreds of ventriloquists looking at your mouth.
Well, they look at your mouth? Oh, I see what you mean. They're staring at your mouth to see if it moves. Oh, I gotcha. So, and were you getting some tips from people? I mean, you're very good, but, I mean, you got still a lot to learn, I'm sure. Are people sharing things with you?
Even at the competition, the ventriloquist one, what they did is it was almost like an America's Got Talent. So after you do your performance, they tweak you on stuff, and then they'll say, their votes or whatever. But the audience votes for that one. But, I have gotten some tips about things like that, especially from my coach.
I'm sure you've had a lot of comparisons with the other young lady who won America's Got Talent.
Yes, Darcy Lynn.
Have you talked with her or been encouraged by her?
She was my encouragement. I've met her 3 times now.
And so since you have been involved in doing a lot more magic and everything, have you gotten to know her better? I mean, and forged a better relationship? Or
She's watched a few of my videos, and now her coach, Gary Owen, is actually my ventriloquist coach, which is pretty nice. So we've gotten a little better.
So when you're doing that, obviously there are some words I think that are more difficult than others when you're trying to pronounce them.
And yeah, definitely. Like in the script I'm doing right now, this summer of 2022, I'm doing a bunch of tongue twisters, actually. I'm saying, a woodchuck a chuck as much wood equal to the amount of seashells Sally could sell by the seashore, divided by how many pickled peppers Peter Piper could pick. I have to say that all in ventriloquism.
Without moving your mouth.
Without moving my lips, yes.
And you did it very well. When I saw you today, that was great, because I was watching your lips. Of course, you're watching the vent figure that's with mm-hmm. you, but then I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's not, I need to wash your lips again. So you did a really great job. And I like also the fact that you were combining magic with that then as well.
Yeah, thanks. It's really fun.
And further, what impresses me, so many different things about your show and you personally that impresses me, not just for a person of your age, but also the maturity with which you are performing and going out and talking to the audience beforehand and kind of prepping them or letting them know, are you enjoying the show? I hope you have a good time and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really fun. I like to get to know my audience before my shows, because also another thing, it's fun to get to know your audience to know how you perform, because if you know your audience, there are some things you can do that might make them clap a little more, things like that. It depends. Mm-hmm. So I get to like to know my audience, and like at most of my Abbott shows I've had during Magic Week here, there have been a lot of kids and this was their first magic show, mm-hmm. so I want to make it a good time for them.
Well, it certainly was. I mean, first of all, out of the mouths of babes. I mean, that's great advice. I hope that everybody else is listening to this. You are an inspiration to a lot of people who should go on and compete and not be afraid of that. But I wanted to point out, talking about knowing your audience and for them to have a good time, there was some little girl sitting behind me that was probably about 6 years old, and she said out loud after the show, "This is the best magic show I have ever seen." Did you hear her?
Yes, she actually came up to me after the show wanting a picture, and she was giving me hugs and she was like, "Oh my gosh, best thing I've ever seen." It was adorable. But it was her first show, so that was the thing. I wanted to make it a special time for her.
Right. And further, I think as far as the scripting that you do, not just for ventriloquism but for magic, fits you perfectly as a young lady. And who do you have that helps you with your scripting and helping to produce that? Is that your mom and dad?
Yeah, my mom is mostly my script writer for basically all my stuff. I mean, I'll help. I'll get the story kind of, and then she'll perfect it, kind of make sure it's all right, mm-hmm. make sure it's okay to say and stuff.
We have a nice singing voice, too, I might add.
Oh, thank you.
But I like the idea, then, with the stratospheres, where you would have the three princesses on there instead of just red, white, and blue balls, and the typical thing that most people do with the stoplights and everything. Could you explain that a little bit to the listeners?
So, the thing was, that was actually my first, like, real trick I got, bigger thing. And when I got it, I was about 7 years old, like, about when I started magic, around that time. And I was a little girl, so I was obsessed with Disney and Disney princesses and all that sort. And so I actually, one day I was just watching a Disney movie and I'm like, we should make that trick about princesses. Because I'm like, the red could be Ariel, green could be Tiana, and yellow could be Belle. So I'm like, it's perfect.
And so you had perfect for the balls and everything. And then as far as the presentation, the scripting, of saying, well, that Ariel kept wanting to jump to the front of the line.
Yeah. I just thought it would be nice because I know a lot, most Disney movies, the princesses always somehow get to go dance with the prince and then they live like happily ever after with the prince. So I was thinking, what if Ariel wanted to dance with the prince, but everybody else wanted to also?
And then she was finally put in jail.
And
I love that.
Yeah, then she went.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that. I thought, where's that? I didn't even see the box, and then he had it covered over there with bricks, and it looked like a dungeon. So cute. Such a great idea.
Thanks.
And so that was your idea, a combination of your mom and dad and everybody putting that together?
Yeah. Really, it was really fun. My grandma helped with the box.
Yeah. And I like the thing where you're pouring the drinks and also different colors in as well.
Yeah, we came up with that one like a year or two ago, I would say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we just decided, hey, we could try to make it about like a little kid's story time or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's all age appropriate, everything that you were doing, and also related to you as a female.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I kind of want everybody in the audience to feel involved, I guess. But I also want it to make it feel like it fits me, and I don't feel awkward up there doing something that doesn't like having to memorize a script and be like, and the red ball goes on top, like,
you like know? Everybody does.
Yeah.
Very good. And then, but further, I was going to say the way I'm impressed with the way you handle the audience from the standpoint of doing the board with the what's it called?
The mental epic.
The mental epic. Thank you. In which someone said ice cream, and as you're writing this down, you're interacting with them. You're in the moment. You're paying attention to the audience, saying, "Oh, what kind of ice cream do you like? Oh, well, that's my favorite too," etc. And it's just like because you know the trick so well, which is what a magician should do, that you're more focused on being in the moment. And for your young age, to appreciate and know that and to be able to interact with that. The whole show was seamless from one trick to the next and even within the trick. So I have to applaud you for that.
Thanks so much.
So is that just something that you have been blessed with that you just have natural or?
Yeah, I really didn't. There was nothing that really, I mean,
yeah,
it's, I've never really had to do much. I've just all of a sudden got started in it, like ventriloquism. I just saw Darcy Lynn on TV. I'm just like, hey, I can do that. Like, and then magic. My dad and I actually played hooky. Funny story. And
we got time.
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Yeah. So my dad and I played hooky, and we went to Fab Magic here in Colon with Rick Fisher. And he was showing me, like, all the cups and balls and the cool tricks like that. And I walked home with a little magic, like, some little magic tricks that I got started with because my mom actually bought me a little magic kit when I was, like, 6 or 7, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's just, again, I think it's awesome that you're an inspiration then to others. I think you need to have a wider audience for people to see you. And the TED Talk thing, I'm sure, helped. Is that online, by the way?
Yeah, it is. It's on the TED Talk page on YouTube. It's on the national it's on the TED Talk Detroit one on YouTube, and it's on the national TED Talk page on YouTube. I have it on my website, BrynCummings.com, and you can find it just plain on YouTube, not even the Detroit TED Talk. You can just find it on YouTube.
What was your subject? What was the main thrust of the talk?
It was called How to Dream Like a 10-Year-Old, because I gave it in 2021, back when I was 10 years old. And so it was basically following your dreams, because, like, I started so young, and yet I got this far so quickly. So I just wanted to let everybody else know that they can do that with whatever inspirational thing they want to do.
And set a goal and follow it.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. You are an inspiration. Thank you very much, Brynn. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for doing this with me. That's fun.
You're welcome. I wish you good luck, and we'll continue this throughout your years. I'll touch base with you from time to time, see how you're doing.
Yep.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Brynn Cummins. Scotty out. One of the people who was a performer as well as a lecturer was someone who we expected to see, and he did show up. He didn't get COVID. He made it all the way.
I didn't get stuck in another country.
He didn't get sick in another country. Right. Your customs, they let you through.
Right.
Here we are with Bizarro. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
It's good to see you.
It's nice to be on here for the first time again.
We, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk with Carissa, but has she already left, by the way?
Or? No, she's taking a nap because she's exhausted from FISM.
I could understand that. You know, me too.
Yeah.
But I'm older than she is, and so she needs a nap. She's young. So,
right.
The point is, she said every time that I'm at a convention, you're there, and so people can follow my career just by listening to the podcast because of things that I
do. Yeah.
And starting to be the same way, like with you, following you around.
I know.
You.
I know. I mean, it's like you need a hobby, man. I don't know.
How are the escape rooms coming along?
Oh, good. We actually have back-to-back escape rooms lined up. After I get back from here, we're going to start installing one in Vegas, who asked us to help improve a room that they had purchased. Then we go back to Reno again because they keep hiring us for some reason. We're either too cheap or they like our stuff. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
And then we start prepping for an escape room install in Dallas. And then we start working on a portable escape room project for Florida. So, like, it's, I'm pretty much booked for the rest of the year escape room wise. It's crazy.
So, I can't imagine, I guess, one that is like a traveling trailer they kind of pull from State Fair or fair?
No. Like, portable as in, like, it's a trunk. It's all self contained in a box and stuff like that. Now, there are ones that do exist in trailers and stuff that people build into things, but that's, we've had people contact us about that, but nobody's committed to it yet. We have helped spruce one up before.
Okay.
So we kind of know what goes into it, but we've never made one ourselves.
Ah, okay. So you have a goal, something to do yet.
Yeah,
that
sure.
That you haven't done yet.
Well, right, and it's one of those things where it's like we're just waiting on somebody to say go. You know, it's like we
got the money.
Right, yeah, because it's like people are like, oh, why don't you have your own business? It's like, well, because that sounds like work. You know, like that doesn't
That'd be
sound,
tied down.
That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, like, you travel all over the country, don't you? Or the world, I guess. Are there other countries that do this?
No, we do have people from other countries contact us, and we're like, it's not cost effective for them for us to fly over to install. That's a lot of money on their part, but we'll send them the props and puzzles and be like, hey, here's how you install them, here's how you wire them, screw it to the wall, plug this in. And
so they do have them in other countries?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, Escape Room started in other countries.
I was about to ask, where did that begin?
So it depends who you ask. Asia claims they were the first, and then parts of Russia claim they were first, and other people are like, we're the first ones. It's like, well, technically video games were the first ones. Like, let's go. Okay. That's what escape rooms are. They're like live-action video games, right? So somebody... I always like to point at China and Japan because they're the ones who are always like, hey, let's do this video game for real, right? Like, there was a place in Japan where you could go and stay overnight in an abandoned shopping mall full of zombies.
Wait a minute. So there are people dressed as zombies walking around trying to kill you?
Yeah. Okay. And it was a whole experience. Cool. And they were like, and I'm like, well, that sounds cool. I want to go do that. Like, but that's what happens. And so we're about 5 years behind Asia and Europe, escape room wise. They got a jump start on us because America likes to take other people's stuff, their ideas, their land, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's there's some really good ones over in like Greece and other places. I did one in China, and I was afraid for my life because OSHA's not a thing. I did two in China. One was really cool, and one I was like, we're gonna die, which it really felt like an escape room. But I did one in Italy when I was there, which was cool. But also there are chains that exist. Like the one we did in Italy is called Fox in a Box, and they're a chain. They have locations everywhere. And we have a few chains here in America too. Escapology, or Escapology because they're British. And who's the other one? 60 Out in L.A. There's a ton of 60 Outs in L.A. And the Escape Game, and there's one I'm forgetting, Panic Room.
Those are they usually in warehouses or in shopping malls?
It depends where the rent is cheap.
Okay.
We have a few in casinos now in Vegas, which we didn't for the longest time.
Why did it take a long time to break into
the
that?
Rent. Oh. And the ones who are in the casinos are the chains who can afford it.
Yeah.
Because escape rooms are like a good mom and pop kind of thing, right? And the mom and pops don't have the money to go into like a high rent area. And, not usually. They sometimes do. Depends on the area. Like up in Reno, they're in a shopping mall. They have like two locations in the shopping mall. But they all have regular jobs to help offset, you know. It's interesting just to see where they pop up because sometimes they're in very apropos, sketchy areas.
Right.
And sometimes they're in little strip malls. Just depends. And you know what they say about business, location, location, location.
It's all about that. Now, when you prepare those also, do you do design at home? They give you the specs as to how big it is or anything? Or do you go and check it out? Or?
It depends. It's a little bit of everything. Sometimes they're like, here's the size of the room we have. Go. And sometimes they're like, we can build the room afterwards. So you design it, and we give them the layout, and we send it to them, and then there you go. And we'll write from top to bottom. Like, we'll write the entire story and the puzzle flow, the design. And sometimes one of our specialties we say now is custom room design. They're like, here's our parameters. And some of the parameters is just, oh, we want an 80s themed escape room. And that's all they tell you. And they're like, okay, well, that's vague, but all right. And so we'll design something interesting and engaging based around that. And sometimes they're like, hey, we also have these things called puzzle pitches where, like, we have half of a room written. We can't think of four other puzzles. And we say, okay, well, we'll tell us what you have. And we'll go through and we'll say, hey, we'll design, like, 6 to 8 puzzles. We'll pitch it to them. Be like, which one of these do you like? And then they say, oh, we like these. And we tell them how to make them. And sometimes they hire us to make them. But it's really nice to get paid to just use your brain.
Sure.
Right? And it's like, oh, I'm selling you a piece of paper with ideas. And I don't have to make anything. This is great.
Well, I think the difficult thing about trying to design escape room biz is trying to have something that is not too difficult, so they feel like they have succeeded in getting that. On the other hand, if it is too difficult, then you're never going to get out and be discouraged.
But difficulty is subjective. Like
it is very subjective.
What is easy for one person is not easy for another.
But that's so how do you get over that?
Well, that's why you have clues. You have a clue and hint system. You have game masters watching you. You have... and here's the thing. It's not about whether you can get out of a room, because anybody can make a room you can't get out of, right? Like, it's about the experience. It's about you going into this experience where you're like, oh, I feel like I want a movie set. Like, so we had there's a place in Vegas that no longer exists that we helped redesign this room. And it went from being a children's escape room to a beginner's escape room, right? So it's like, if you've never done an escape room, here's a 30-minute room for you to play and get a taste for it. And some of the puzzles were challenging, but not like, oh my God, I can't. They weren't like super difficult. They weren't like, you know, Sudoku or math in there, anything like that, because I don't hate people. But people, I would watch, because there's cameras in all the rooms, so you watch the rooms being played. And you hear people, they get mad at each other, they get frustrated, but then they come out and go, that was so fun. And I'm like, boy, you sure didn't that, your tone of voice,
like it there.
Your tone of voice didn't sound like it. But that's because they're in the heat of the moment. If they're immersed in the environment, right, they're in it.
It's
right?
Got to be a great thing for companies to try to be like team development.
Yes, absolutely. There's absolutely, one of the bread and butter of a lot of escape rooms is corporate team building stuff, in which I always laugh at when I hear that. And I go, great, yeah. So here's how I picture that going, where it's like the pitch for that. Do you hate Janet because she can't make coffee? Well, now you're going to really hate her because she can't follow simple directions. Team building.
Yeah,
right. I'm like, all right.
Confirm that you really hate her.
Yes, exactly. But that's a big part of it. That's where a lot of money comes from. They'll rent out the whole building and people go in and have a good time. And that's what it's about. It's just like magic. The escape rooms, we did a talk at a Transworld, which is the big haunt convention down in St. Louis, called Escape Rooms or Magic. Because magic and escape rooms have a lot of crossover. And we talked about how we build them from a magician's perspective. But there's a lot that goes into it. You know, escape rooms, to do it right, you have to understand game theory, and you have to understand like psychology and people. And being a magician, you get to understand psychology.
It's a good thing you have advanced degrees in Dr. Bizarro.
Yeah, right, exactly. Dr. Bizarro is a website you definitely don't need to go to.
But speaking of having fun and all that and magic, you've been coming to this convention for quite a while then.
No, this is my second time.
Oh, really?
The first time was 2016, and I've been trying to get back out here, but obviously 2 years are a mulligan for everybody. Yeah, right. Obviously, those don't count. So I guess 3 years I've been trying to get back out here. But I wanted to come last year because I heard the lineup was amazing.
It was amazing.
And I know, and I couldn't get away. So this year, I was Joel Hodgson and Mike Miller were like, yeah, come party with Joel and them. And I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah, and you've been digging it. I mean, they've been putting you to work where you were performing and lecturing, and
I love it.
Then also helping that deal with Joel and Kevin James, all that was so pretty funny.
No, that was a good time. Like, and that was Joel's baby, and I'm very much one of those guys. People come to me all the time and go, "What do you think of this idea? What do you think of this idea?" And I'm the guy who goes, "Just do it, try it."
Yeah.
Put it in front of an audience, or do what you want to do, because that's the only way to know. You'll know that first time you do it and go, oh, this is a bad idea.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm like, somebody's like, hey, we're going to go do a wacky lecture. I'm like, let's do it. I'm the yes and guy for wacky ideas.
Pushing one out there. Yeah, do it. Try it.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
you're just a just do it kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, I tell people all the time, I was like, listen, I don't drink because I don't need stuff to make me do dumb things. Like, I'll do it all on my own, you know. And shocker, he has a saying that's not his. I forget who it's from, but he says, yeah, I don't drink or do drugs because I don't want to share the credit.
That's good. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And it's kind of true. I'm like, yeah, I'll just, especially if it's funny. It's like the scene of Roger Rabbit. It's like, I can only do it when it's funny.
Yeah, very good. Well, I've had a good time here with you. Thank you very much for being part of this convention and sharing all the inventiveness that you have with the rest of the group and just being here.
I'm happy to help further the art, you know.
Snap noodle. Huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Yeah.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Bizarro. It's Scotty out. It's almost over. We still have the announcement of a few of the special awards, like the Crandall Award, Comedy Award, the Manipulation, the Bill Baird Award. So those will be announced here shortly, but someone who is an illusion builder and also who has been here for many years, Mr. Bill Smith. Hey, Bill.
Well, thanks, Scott. Great to be here. Actually, 45 years ago, I came here in 1977 with the Long Beach Mystics, and it was Mike came to MC the show. It was me, Todd Robbins, Mark Kalin, Dirk Arthur, and a guy named Jeff Williams. And this is a famous show that Kevin James came and saw us on the show, and within a year he moved to Long Beach to be a part of the Long Beach Mystics.
This brings it all back together because earlier this week he was saying, I want to know what Kool-Aid those guys are drinking,
exactly.
And I'm coming out there.
But my ulterior motive was to come out here. I was booked on Abbott's to do my act,
yep.
But also I knew Harry Blackstone Jr. was looking for a prop man. Friend of mine, Don Bice, in California, said, When you're back at Abbott's, make sure you talk to Harry. He needs somebody to work, go on the road with him. Because mm-hmm. I'd been on the road with Ab Dixon and a few others.
Right.
So I did my act here, and then the reality is I sealed my deal working for Blackstone. And it was 10 years with him. So that's why Abbott's is a very special place.
When you say
me.
You sealed your deal here with him, I mean, he just absolutely loved you.
After I did my act, I said, Don Bice said, you're looking for a prop guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm available. And he will come on over to the house and we'll talk. And I got along with all the daughters and Gay mm-hmm. and Harry. We talked about it. And he says, you know, right, because I told him, I gave him my resume, you know, I can perform, I can build, I can do whatever. And he said, well, right now we don't have any shows. The shows we got are just for Gay, with Gay and I, but I need somebody to fix some props. And I said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So when I flew back to back home, I called him up and I went out to Redlands, picked up a Canon and a Nessa boxes and refurbished that. I got a call a little month later and he says, what are you doing in October? Nothing. Well, we're working the Chicago Playboy Club. And mm-hmm. that's what started it.
I'm in.
Yeah, I know, definitely. Yeah. I'm 22 years old.
Yeah,
working
Playboy
with the great
Club
Blackstone
at the Playboy,
Club. Who? Yeah, what else are you going to say? But Abbott's is my my favorite convention because of the, you know how it is. I mean,
sure.
I've only been here, I saw all the shows, of course. I saw Lance's lecture.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything else because we have a social calendar
yes.
with our friends. And you know how we had Gene Anderson over for lunch.
Right.
Gene used to always have lunch for people. And now that Phil and Robbie Wilmarth are gone,
yeah.
I wanted to, you know, pay it forward and have Gene come over for our lunch.
That was so nice.
And you were there.
Yes.
And he did a special lecture for just us.
Yeah.
Of course, last night we went to the Amish dinner.
At Rosie's, yeah.
At Rosie's, and
that
was terrific. We went to Greg and Debbie's on Monday, mm-hmm. a few of us. We got a boat ride from Jerry Costello.
Yeah.
Jerry's party was today.
Right.
I mean, and also I'm staying in a house with Lance Burton, so it's easy when I need a boat ride. I just call Jerry. Hey, Lance wants to take a boat ride on Palmer Lake. When?
Yeah, that's right. I'm ready right now.
Yeah, so it's
yeah,
my
and the
favorite.
Guys you're staying with over there at the house when I went over last evening, and you're just kind of hanging around the front porch, and it was like you and Nick DeFont, and there was
that's Mike Cadney's house.
It's Mike's place.
Mike's place. I'm at the. You were over there when we had lunch.
Yes,
with, yeah.
We're staying
so
with
that's
Lance.
That's
okay.
Yeah, it's Lance, me, David, Sandy, and Lance Rich. David, Sandy, and Lance Rich were supposed to be there, but unfortunately, David had to leave for personal
tragic
reasons. But it's been really great, and I was hoping to come next year. But Magic Life is over. They're kind of. It's.
Is there an overlap next year?
Well, there's not an overlap. I mean, luckily you could leave here Sunday morning next year and make stands because it doesn't start till 7 o'clock at night.
Okay. Well, they start registration like at noon on Sunday typically.
Yeah, but there's not. Yeah. So you can make both of them. It just makes it a little difficult.
Right.
I started my magic career at 16 at Stan Allen's magic shop that he was running.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these years later, I'm still very involved in Magic Live. I always build whatever, you know, props and displays and whatever he needs last minute. So.
Well, I didn't know it was Stan Allen's shop. I thought he was just working a shop.
He worked the shop, but then he owned it.
Oh,
he took it over.
Because he had the newsletter that he was doing.
Yeah.
What was that called?
It was a B&H School of Magic newsletter.
Yeah.
And when he bought it from Herb Fiedler's son, it ended up being just the magic shop.
Okay.
So,
you mentioned earlier about Todd Robbins. I didn't know that Todd Robbins was part of the Mystics.
He was. Yeah.
From New York. What was he doing there?
He lived in Long Beach. He grew up in Long Beach.
And then he moved to New York after that.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have overlooked that. I've heard, I guess I didn't know that his name was.
Let me see if I can bring this up real quick. Not that there's actually no.
Well, I know as far as in past years, it has been a pretty tight thing where there wasn't really an overlap, but. It was, was that the picture?
So 45 years ago, 1977, the Long Beach Mystics were there. I'm showing Scott a photo
well,
right
I'm
going
to post this. You can send that to me.
I will.
I'll put this on the website.
And so Mike Caveney was the MC, and we closed the second half on Friday night, and that's Todd Robbins doing a clown act. That's me with Gaylord the Duck. That's Mark Kalin.
Yeah.
That's Dirk Arthur and his assistant, and that's Jeff Williams. Jeff is out of magic. But, of course, you know how the rest of us all turned out.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah, be sure and send that to me, and I'll put it over there. So if you guys go to themagicwordpodcast.com for today's episode, then I'll have that as one of the photos that we'll have there then, too.
Okay, so well, I think they're about ready to announce the awards.
I think they are pretty soon here shortly. And so, yeah, we need to go and find out who the winners are. I tell you, it seems to me a clear winner is going to be Arden.
Well, you saw him at Phil. I didn't see, I just heard all about him.
You didn't see him at the IBM?
No, see, me neither.
I was,
and I was standing way back here.
Yeah.
I want to see him up close. Because
you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him three times in the last 3 weeks. I saw him at Atlanta and then in Quebec and then here.
But now, you know, literally when BJ introduced him, he's a man without a country. I mean, he has a four-year visa for here, 3 to 4 years. We need to find him work. So if anybody...
there's Mac right now. I just heard him talking on the phone. He's going by and saying he doesn't have any place to stay. I don't know who he's talking to.
Oh, okay.
But he's trying to figure out something for him right now.
It's already in the works.
So it could be in the works. But, I mean, a talent like that surely has got to be working someplace on a regular basis. There's got
to
be
something. Right now he
needs
a place to live.
Yeah, he just needs a couch or something to crash on for a while. But,
yeah,
this has been great. It's been a lot of fun. Another wonderful convention. The 84th is now pretty much in the can. We'll announce, let you know the announcement.
If anybody's they got nothing to do in May, May 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'm having my Magic Collector Expo in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. And they can go to the website.
MagicCollectorExpo.com.
And sign up then for that.
Great.
That's always a lot of time. A lot of fun. Thank you very much. That's Bill Smith for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. So now I've got with me the fellow who is one of the curator. I keep saying curator. You're not really not a curator. What is it? A board of directors. He's on the board of directors, Jeffrey Allen, and his assistant, Angel. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, too.
Hey, nice to see you, Scott. Thank you.
So this has been another great convention. The 84th is now in the can. So, and you have performed once or twice over at Abbott's?
We were at Abbott's once, Thursday at 1 o'clock. And tonight we were performing in Grand Rapids, a 2.5-hour walk around.
You did that
outside.
Tonight, so you just
before
now got
we
in.
Got here, yes.
Okay.
We did a little show, too, about 30 minutes, and then the rest of it was walk around. So it was fun, but really hot.
Now, do you help him and walk around doing?
Yes.
Really? What kind of things you do, the two of you, in close-up walk around?
We do some card tricks, and we do mentalism for people as well.
Really?
So they like that a lot.
We do our second sight that we did at Abbott's.
But, I mean, like walk around.
Right up close. Just, hey, you know.
Interesting.
So
they can walk up to a table and say, you know, I'm going to put on a blindfold, and
she turns around.
Okay.
And in fact, I talk about telepatia, which is telepathy, and as soon as she hears that, that's her cue to spin around. And people are looking. They say, "Why?" They wonder why she's turned around, but it's part of the act. So,
gotcha. That does seem kind of odd. That I mean, I've never heard anybody do walk around two-person metalism show. Wow.
We do another one where it's like objects around or even on the table, and then I turn around, and then I guess which one it is.
Okay.
So we just make it fun, and you know, it works, and it, like, you turn around, and you're like, wow, it's almost time already.
The other one more that we do, the pick a card, and then I step away and say, she's going to name it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a different dimension too on that, the whole force card issue.
Right, that is different. Wow. I'm kind of speechless on that. I'd like to see that sometime. So what is the newest, going to the museum for a minute, what is the newest thing that you've had acquired recently?
Well, you know, Tuesday morning, we had all the collectors over, and it was a seven-hour event. Lance Burton was there as well. And we were all excited because we have brought up the Blackstone Senior crates from the basement. And we're able to open those and assemble those for the first time in some 80 years.
Yeah.
We had them all set up in the parking lot behind the museum and just played for the day.
Right.
And some of us have never seen those things. But more importantly, I think we were able to discover a couple of props that Blackstone used. They didn't know where they were, and we found them. And then a prop from Hardeen, Houdini's brother. And we also found a rose bush that belonged to Adelaide Herman.
How cool is that? Wow. Wow. That's pretty special. So you got to find a place to display that?
Yes. And in fact, we did bring up the carriage, the rickshaw, and put it on the display in the Blackstone Senior
area. Very neat. Well, it looks like they're getting ready to go and announce the winners over here, so we'll have to leave. Thank you very much, Jeffrey Allen.
Nice,
Angel. Appreciate you guys being on tonight, and good seeing you here this week.
Thank you, Scott. See you.
The Magic Word Podcast. Jeffrey Allen, Angel. Scotty out.
Tempted once more, I just can't get enough of it.
All right, looks like we're about ready to make the announcement for the winners of the special awards by B.J. Mallon here.
My family, and they don't like me. So we've got some awards to give away for this year, but first things first, I've got an award to give away from last year. We were going to cut it in half, but Mac ran off with the whole damn thing. So Joel, here's your 2021 Senator Friendly. Got the Abbott Magic Get Together 2022 Performer Awards hermetically sealed, untouched by human hands until now. Made in Texas by Texans.
Yay!
All right, Scott. So first, let's because it's on top, so let's give it away first. The Jack Gwynn Award for Excellence in Presentation, and. You know, it's kind of interesting to give this award to someone who wasn't even supposed to be here, but Lucy Darling. Here's Crandall Award.
Yeah, I know.
The Senator Crandall Comedy Award. And it goes to that guy that looks like Nick DeFatti. The Bill Baird Neil Foster Manipulation Award. I wonder. Come on.
That was Artem Shridlik from Russia, of course.
Finally, we have the Jerry Conklin Abbott's Magic Family Award. Would you Conklins like to stand up here while we give this one away?
Sure. Hey,
Mike. Don't have to get on the chair, no. But you know, Jerry helped doing the lighting for how many years was Jerry?
15, 20, and up on that lift.
Yep. Yeah. And he really was one of the founding members of the Abbott's Magic Family, really. And so the Conklins discussed it, and the whole reason that we had such a great lineup this year that we did was because of this guy.
Yeah.
So this award goes to Mr. Mike Miller.
Yeah!
And I'll see you at the Legion.
And so it looks like another successful convention is in the books. How much fun has this been? Boy, I hope you guys have enjoyed the last few days when we've been talking about all of this. It's been just a ton of fun. So thank you very much for listening each day. And if you've not attended this, I hope you get a sense of what this is like. It is really a family type of thing. I don't need to go into it. Just go back and listen to the rest of this. So much fun. So very much fun. And they'll be taking registrations, I'm sure, very soon over at AbbotsMagic.com. So from Colon, Michigan, this is, and the 84th Abbott's Magic get-together. This is Scotty out. Well, no convention is complete without talking to Carissa Hendricks. Lucy, darling. Hey, Carissa.
Hi. Hello again for the 80th time.
That's right.
Everybody's so sick of me by now.
Then you got an award even.
I did. Jack Gwynn Award for Excellence in Presentation, which is very funny because I'm not on the bill, so that's impossible.
Yeah, when people in future years look back at the poster and the bill, they're going to say, wait a minute.
How did she win? They're just going to be like, oh, she stole it. That's what happened, basically.
You have won other awards, I assume, over the years, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You?
Yeah, so. I'm the current reigning stage magician of the year at the Magic Castle. I have a Carlton from the Magic Circle. I'm doing okay.
And yeah. I remember when we first met was whenever you had won the one over in Australia for the
comedy
festival.
Yeah, the comedy award for the Melbourne Magic Festival.
As you were just starting your career.
I know.
As Lucy and everything.
I've come a long way.
And so that's what, yes, I like what you had said before. If you just listen to these podcasts, you can kind of follow Carissa's career of what she's been doing and her evolution and everything. I think you got it down now, though.
I think, yeah. We'll see. We'll see what the next step is. Yeah.
It was interesting also to watch you do a little bit of close-up as well.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun. I actually have, like, oh, we're leaving soon? Okay, great. So I've been told we're leaving soon.
You're on your way. Okay.
Yes. But, yeah, no, I have a close-up repertoire. I actually have done more close-up magic than I've done stage magic. But because most people know me as Lucy, most people don't know I can do close-up.
But you were doing a lot of close-up magic on Zoom as Lucy.
Technically. Yes, I was. But
technically, it was quite
technically
a bit.
Technically, I was.
Well. Okay, well, listen, we'll see you with the party.
Yeah,
always
sorry about
my,
that.
My okay. friend. Okay, we'll see you later. All right. Got a Zoom.
We got a Zoom.
Okay, we'll see you. Bye. The Magic Word Podcast. That was Chris Hendricks, better known as Lucy Darling, Scotty out. That was a little, by the way, that was a little coda, a little bit of the ending over there. So this way that we kind of now are going to say and sign off from Colon, Michigan, Scotty out.